Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome to the show that God has definitely given me to deliver a message. And I want to say hello to everyone that's out there listening, or someone that will pull this show up later on. I mean, God has truly been blessing, and I'm excited about it. And I think we're going to talk about some things tonight, overcoming the challenge of doing business in the marketplace. And I always approach my common subjects with a word, and some would say a word from the Lord. It is real interesting to me of how God gave me this. And so I want to stick with it, because he gave me the plan to continue to go by in order to deliver this in a manner that will be received by many of people. But always before I get started, you know, let's go into a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, O Lord, for who you are, for what you've done. And Father, we just appreciate you tonight because, Lord, I believe you want to encourage people and to move them forward and to have their eyes focused on you. And so, God, I pray tonight that the ears and the listening and the people that become attentive to what you're saying, Father, will grab a hold of it and move expeditiously, oh God, into those things that you have declared to be done. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Interesting topic tonight. You know, I think that God is extremely, extremely doing some things that are unique. And so they're not new, but they're unique. And the reason why I say that they're unique is because without him showing our eyes or moving us in a different direction or allowing us to see different things, I think we get kind of accustomed to what's going on, and we stay in that same old movement that some call it rat race, some call it SOS, same old stuff, you know. But I think it's different. I think it's time to be exquisitely different. It's time to really dive into believing what God has said. And so, you know, this is the beginning of the first month in the year of 2020, and don't want to face the challenges of yesterday. I don't want to say last year, but some are still facing challenges from yesterday because of the fear of doing business in the marketplace. And you have to be able to overcome the challenges that spring up, you know, at you, you know, when someone is not really believing in what you're saying or not really engaged in that process. And so I want you to look at it in a manner of how powerful God is, what he does, how he does it, and the reason behind it. So, and I'm always going to take you outside of the four walls that we call the church. That is my motive, my MO, my motive of operation is to move you outside of the four walls so you can grab a real good picture of what God is saying and why God is saying it. I think that is unique. That is needed in this hour. And that we don't get accustomed to doing things the same way. So, you know, if you bear with me for a minute, you know, definitely we're going to go into an area here that I think you need to know about, something that you need to hear, and that is overcoming the challenge of doing business in the marketplace. Now, I'm going to a unique place here because I want to, if you could, you know, go with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 13. And I posted that I want to start the reading at verse number 17. And so it says this, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is and the people that dwell it therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, or whether there be a good, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin and unto Rohob, as men come into Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, and were Ahiman, Shishamah, and Talamah, and the children of Anak were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt, and they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch which one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon their staff, and they brought out the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. Now it's interesting now that I'm having to read this portion of biblical content, because one thing I've discovered is that, you know, there are many things that are going on that we have to discuss and we have to be mindful of. And so in that process of doing that, there are things that are way before us and ahead of us that we really haven't had the opportunity to capture. And if you're going to stand up to the challenges of the things that we come in contact with in the marketplace, it's going to be real beneficial for you to understand what those challenges are. So if when we do business in the marketplace, we find ourselves faced with many challenges. But the thing is, I want to remind you of, is that God is the one, is that entity, is that supreme being that has told you to go into business. He led you to do this, and he's made the way, but he never told you now that you would not run into challenges. And so now, if I could compare this to the children of Israel, Moses in the book of Numbers, chapter number 13, pulls together 12 men because they're in the wilderness, and their pathway is to get back to the place that God had given them in the beginning. Now, when I say in the beginning, because the land that they're going to is the land that God promised Abraham, and them being descendants of Abraham, this was their land. But they left the place where God had intended that they be, and because they left that particular place, you know, now someone else has taken over what they left behind. So now hear what I'm saying now, because we are very educated people, but we are very intelligent people. Now, the difference between being educated and intelligent. Because of the difficulties of how things happen, we have made it possible that we come up with innovative ideas and ways and means of doing things. And we come up with these ways because of the fact that we have a job to do or something that we know everybody else need done, and we found the innovative way of making sure that happens. And so now, that didn't come when we figured it out. We were born with that ability to use that type of skill. We are problem solvers. And the reason why we go into business is we stand in a position to where there's an issue or a problem, and between the person that needs that answer, and we're able to deliver that answer to them in a manner by which they want to pay for it, if that makes sense. The interesting piece here is that after the children of Israel had left the promised land, right, this was what was promised to them. And I want y'all to follow me closely here now. This is what was promised to them. They left their promise, and even though they left it, it was still there waiting on them. That's interesting. Normally now, when we leave something that God has prepared for us, somebody else, like the people that inhabited those particular places, had grabbed a hold of those locations, and now they inhabit it, but it didn't belong to them. But now, in order for them to understand what was left for them, Moses knows that he has to go into that land. And one of the challenges is, if you don't see it, is when you send people to do something that don't have the same vision that you do. You know, Moses sent 12, but he told them specifically what he wanted them to come back with. Bring back a branch of grapes. Tell me who inhabits the land, how the land is, be it good or bad. You know, if the people are there, be it dangerous or friendly. Bring me back all the information that tells me that we can inhabit or we can take the land. Now, 12 men go, but only 2 men follow the instructions. The other 10 was looking at the obstacles that they were going to face going into what was already promised to them. You know, now, and that's interesting now. That means that in this manner, if God had promised you something and you know the Lord told you that it was yours, and you then trust what someone says that never heard God tell you that, and they come back with a different report. We have grown to be people that believe negative things over what God has already said. So now the challenge in business now is that, number one, you send someone that does not have your vision, they don't have your passion, but they figure, because they with you, that you're going to believe what they tell you. And so that's one challenge that you need to overcome. You have to have an ear to hear what God has asked of you to do, or let me go a little bit further, or even told you to do. And even though you haven't been in that area, that your ancestors left this from years past, that it still belongs to you. And if God is sending you back to that place to obtain it, then you have to have the confidence and the wherewithal. And there's a word that we use in the military called the intestinal fortitude, to go and take what God had promised you. In business, nothing is going to be laid out for you that you just walk up and it happens. God has to give you a strategy. He has to tell you when and how, and he has to let you know that there are some that are possessing what he has given you, but you have to now use him to go move them out of the way. Challenge. Because if you're used to hearing what people say to you, then you will fall prey to, I don't think you should do that. I've heard this many of times. I come to someone and it's a business idea, business venture, and they have an answer to the problem. But out of fear that they will lose their job, they don't want to talk about it. And the whole thing to have an answer to a problem is that God pull you out of working for someone, because if you're working for someone, it makes you a borrower and not a lender. You know, and so if you're asking someone to borrow some money when you're working sometimes 60 hours a week, and the length of the hours takes you away from your family, and it barely helps you make ends meet, the idea that God has just rained upon you pulls you away from the struggle of slavery and the 21st century and puts you in a position to where you can obtain the land. Now, notice now in the book of Numbers, chapter number 13, Moses identifies this land as the land of milk and honey. And I want to explain that to you now, meaning all that you want and all that you need. See, milk is what you need. Honey is what you want. You know, And so if you can really hear this now, you cannot have milk and honey struggling working for someone, because when you try to buy the milk, it's going to be powdered. You're going to have to add water to it. The honey is going to be processed, and you're going to have to pay someone to get the honey that you can eat. And if it costs too much, you're going to have to wait until it goes on sale, or you can find someone that wants to bless you, when the promise is that God has already created a land that you can obtain the milk and the honey. And now, is there labor involved in it? Yes. But you're not laboring for someone else to get the milk. You're not laboring with someone else to obtain the honey. This was a promise made to you. Oh, now, I'm going to try not to preach here tonight, because it may get a little thick here. May get a little thick. So now, the other thing that is real interesting of some of the challenges you're going to have going into business, you know, you have to understand now that there are some people who are just going to ride your coattail because they're really not interested in what you're doing, and they'll become a weight. They may be family members. They could be friends, you know, because they know you're smart enough to take them there. But the intelligence and the education behind it wasn't that you take them there. It was that you get there first. Because if you don't enter the land that God promised you, how can you help those that are pulling on you? Because of your heart, you're going to give all you have and not have enough for yourself. Look at the challenge now. The challenges that you're going to encounter doing business in the marketplace. I haven't got to the competition. Because before you start competing with someone, you have to identify the weights that are on you going into the city, going into the land. You know, now you've sent someone, and I want to get to this now. You've sent some people that are going to view what you do, that are going to talk about how you can obtain the land. So you know you're going to have those that say you can't do it because the people are too big and we're not strong enough to face them. So that's what the other 10 said. But Joshua and Caleb came back and said, surely we can take the land. They came back with a branch with grapes on it, indicating the fruit, that the land is fruitful. So now I'm going to go way back for a minute. So now if you go back to Genesis chapter number 1, it talks about that God commanded that the earth bring forth trees, herb-bearing trees, and fruit-bearing trees. And so now God has commanded this in the beginning as a provision for man who is his vision. So Genesis chapter number 1, when you read that, verse number 1 through verse number 25, really talks about the provision that God has for his vision, meaning the earth is the provision, but God now identifies you as his vision. So before God brought his vision in, he provided for it. Yeah, he created an earth and he commanded that it do something. And you'll hear me say this a lot, that the earth still obeys God. So when God is sending Moses back into the promised land, that it is a promise until the people that he has selected, that he put his place, put himself into, and he has chosen the children of Israel. Why would he choose them and then send them to a place that was barren? Why would God ask you to go into business and into a certain sector of business and you not be successful in it? Why would he do that? If he's already provided for you, then he's waiting for you to go into that area that he has commanded that you would now partake in the milk and the honey of the land. There's an area of business, if y'all can understand what I'm saying. there's an area of business, and it may look like a challenge for you, but if God has spoken to you to go into business in that particular area, it's overflowing with milk and oozing with honey. Can I say that again? It is overflowing with milk and it's oozing with honey. All that you want and all that you need. Now, you have to grab this now, because you're going to have friends, possibly relatives, may even have a spouse that wants you to stick to the 9-to-5 and that paycheck because it comes every 2 weeks. And if I could be honest with you, that paycheck is never going to amount to the money that you can provide for your family, or that you can enjoy and connect with your spouse, because you still have to work a certain amount of hours with that company just to get time off. And they determine when your holidays are, and they, if they're good to you, they may give you a floating holiday, you know? So, which means that you're going to produce a minimum of 2,080 hours a year that may gain you out of that 2,080 hours. It may give you 80 hours that they will pay you just to take off. Think about that now. And there's some additional days that may be in there for Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, if they don't work you the day after Thanksgiving. If you don't work in retail, well, you're going to work the day after Thanksgiving. Christmas, depending on what day it falls upon. You have the 4th of July, and depends on what industry you're in, you will be working. If you're in the hospitality industry or restaurant industry, you're going to be working. You know, if you're in the travel industry, you might be working. If you work in the medical field, there's a great possibility you're going to be working. If you work in the law enforcement, just because of holiday, they still have to work. Fire department. So these are the people, and I'm not, you know, downcasting their jobs, their responsibilities, anything of that nature, but they're going to have to work. And so that's going to be a trade-off of the day that you work to probably get another day, but you're going to trade off that time that you would spend with your family just so you can work. Because in your mind, you're thinking that you are the provider. Now, that's interesting that I would say that you would think that you are the provider. If Genesis chapter 1, from verse 1 to verse 25, if the earth is the provision for man, and God commanded that the earth do things, bring forth trees, herb-bearing trees, fruit-bearing trees, if God commanded that, and then that he placed the fowls of the air, put them there, fish in the sea. He put animals and insects on the earth. That means that if this was a provision for his vision, then he has already provided. The only thing man can do is draw from the earth what God had already commanded that it give up. Now, I'm going somewhere, and I want you to ride with me, because this ain't going to be a long ride. So if God has already provided, how can you provide what God has already provided? So ask yourself that question now, because if you're working yourself to the bone, that means you're getting ready to pay for something that God has already provided for you. Somebody got tricked in this. That means that now the commandment that God gave the earth to provide for you, if you don't receive that, then you'll do like I've done, many others done. You're going to work yourself to the bone looking for something that God has already given you. That just don't make sense. If God gave you fish in the sea, birds in the air, herb-bearing trees, and fruit-bearing trees, and then he says this will be food unto you. You know, if it's food unto you, why are you paying for something that God already gave you? That's just like me giving you a car. And I give you this car, it's brand new, but then you go to the bank to get a loan just to pay for it. But if I gave it to you, why would you have to do that? Well, now, let's deal in the 21st century, because we don't understand what God has given us. We now go and work ourselves to the bone. I know somebody going to say, the Bible said, if a man don't work, he don't eat. It didn't say if he didn't work for somebody. Right? Said if he didn't work, he didn't eat. Imagine if your work is your business. If your work is your business, then you are setting something in place, because now you understand that God has given you the authority to draw something from the earth, and you and to take what God had given you already now, and you can mold it or transform it into something that somebody else need, and you can sell it to them. They do it to us all the time. No man grows trees. God let trees grow. But we cut them down and we pull paper and all these other products that we need. A manufacturing company takes the sawdust and some liquid, forms paper, takes the other wood. We're building homes with it. We're doing other things in furniture. We may have wood products in so many different things. And as they produce them, they're selling them to us because we have a need for it, or we have a want for it. Uh-oh. So we have some milk and we have some honey. We need some milk and we desire the honey, but now we're going to have to work ourselves to the bone just to get the promise that God, that he gave us. But now, if that was true, why did not the children of Israel have to go into the promised land and really take up arms and fight for it? If we're supposed to work for everything, then they were supposed to go into Ai. They were supposed to go into the other cities and fight, battle, and take it over. But all they did was follow God's instructions and enter that land and obtain it. I wonder, what instructions are God giving you? You know, what are those instructions? If God is giving you instructions, he has not at one time spoken about the giants in the land. He already know about the giants in the land. If he know about them, that means he's already got a plan to defeat them. So your other challenge in the marketplace is having the ability to listen to God. There are many things that you think you should do, and you don't have to do it. All you have to do is listen to the Lord. Have someone ever told you, in order to, if you're going to start a business, you got to get a loan? Have somebody ever told you that? But then you jump through these hoops, you go through this obstacle course, and your credit is good, but yet these folks won't give you no money. And they look at you with a smile, it's slanted like, and say, I'm sorry, we really can't help you. Even though you have a credit score in the 700s, And your debt doesn't, you don't have any debt, we can't give you a loan because you haven't been, we don't see where you have a certain amount of credit. You know, so since you don't have some credit, I'm not going to give you a loan. And you leave there because other people are getting these loans and they're making it happen. And you get discouraged and you go back to work. Y'all just hear what I said. You know, you get discouraged and you decide to go ahead and punch that clock and make that $60,000 a year, you know, and struggle. That just sounds crazy to me, man. That just don't make sense to me. Especially after God has made you a promise. And so now I'm going to say something else that's unique, and because You know, and you all can look this up, because next Thursday I'm definitely going to talk about this, and that's one of the seven mountains of the kingdom, because the children of Israel had to go into the promised land and then take back those seven mountains and what those seven mountains are. Now, the children of Israel wasn't aware of that, but the leader was. And if you're following someone that does not know the challenges that are ahead, and doesn't have the confidence that what God has said that it could happen, you're following the wrong person. You are totally following the wrong person. You know, now what's indicative about this is that you have confidence in the person because they want to tell you, you know, that you can't do that. Now, watch it now. I'm going to say something else, but here comes another challenge. There are some leaders that are intimidated by you, and they don't want you doing something before they do it. So they're not going to support this thing that God has given you. They would rather you go do something else because they know if you don't obey God, you're not going to be successful. Now, that sounds crazy. Now, why would a spiritual leader not have the confidence to point you in the right direction? Because they don't believe God like you do. They believe what they can see. They haven't even reached for the promise that God has given them. They look at you as a commodity thinking you're going to bring them the promise. And they're not, that's not even the promise. So if they hold you back, you're in trouble with God. You're in trouble with your with the children's children, your spouse, because this move that God is making with you brings legacy. It's going to change the lives of the children's children that you have yet to meet but are coming through your loins. Are they going to be able to recognize whether or not you did obey God or whether you didn't? The reason why we look at the Rockefellers is because they did something and it blessed their whole generation. You know, we look at Bill Gates. He did something. He went against the grain. He dropped out of college and ran with the idea that God gave him. Him and Steve Jobs came together, and they separated later on, but with their ingenuity and with their passion and with their ability to trust their gut, that intestinal thing that's on the inside of them, they went for it. And now their children and their children's children's lives are forever changed. Because if they didn't make that move, what would happen? Y'all remember that story, this short Christmas time where I forgot the guy's name, older story where this angel comes and picks this guy up and he catches him riding down the road, the screws, riding down the road. It's a Wonderful Life, right? It's a Wonderful Life. And so, because he wanted him to see what would happen if he made the wrong move. And that wrong move changed. He was able to see how he wouldn't have met his wife. He would not have had the children. The town would not have been saved, right? All because he would have made a done move. You know what that move was? He was trying to jump off a bridge and end his life. It's crazy. Go back in time. And if you don't make this move, it's going to affect everyone out there that you deal with. This one move that you're going to make is going to affect your whole generation to come. Every idea that God has given you is in the promised land. And Moses had to instruct these 12 spies to go into a place where they had never been, but their ancestors was there. Their ancestors received a promise from there. Everyone that is listening on this call, there is a history behind you, and all of it ain't slavery. Can I say that again? There's a history behind you, and all of it ain't slavery. You know, and if you can grab a hold of that, just think about that for a minute, right? Some black people were not brung over here on boats because they had Blackfoot Indians. You know, some migrated from Mexico. Some came from over the islands. But whatever it is, it doesn't mean that you have to constantly work yourself to the bone for the least amount of money because you're afraid or you're thinking that you have to provide for yourself. You know, there's a sense of security we have been taught to have with a good job. Can I say that again? There's a sense of security that we have been taught to have having a good job, but never realizing the fact that we place the promise that God has given us in someone else's hands, and we're not pursuing that promise. We're not willing to go over there and take the land. We would rather continue to do what we're doing, getting what we're getting. And so we know that what that is. We've heard this definition for many years. It's insane for you to keep doing the same thing, expecting something different to happen. The challenges now of doing business in the marketplace, the challenges before you even get to putting a name on your business or setting up the structure of the business. The challenge is, number one, and I'm going to say it again, is getting those people away from you that don't have the same vision. They have more negative talk than they have positive talk. And now, I'm not telling nobody to get a divorce, all right? But if you have a spouse and that spouse is not supportive of you doing what God said, you're going to have problems. That's an obstacle there. And so you might as well just either you're going to decide to do it or you're not. There is no security in working for anybody. I'm going to say that again. There is no security in working for anybody. The children of Israel were slaves, and they made brick without straw because, one, the leader of the Egyptians were angry because these folks were looking for a Messiah. People get angry that you work for because you're looking for someone that does something better than what they do. You know, they intimidated. They have a ego they have some insecurities. Even if you're smarter than they are, their insecurities come out because you intimidate them. I hope y'all hear what I'm saying. Yeah, I don't want to feel like I'm just talking in the wind, you know. So you can't come back like the other 10 spies from the promised land and say that I can't go home. That's crazy, isn't it? That this was their home, and they just going home to till the ground, to grow fruit, to herd cattle, to build homes, to weave baskets and sew clothes. But 10 came back and said, we can't do it. Where 2 believed that they could. I want to be a messenger to you today and tell you you can do it. Despite the challenges that someone else has told you, I want to encourage you right now and let you know you can do this. There's no no equivocation in my mind that if God has told you that he has something for you to do and you're ready to step into that arena, it doesn't matter who says you can't. God already said you can. And let me go a bit further. He said you will. So that's a challenge now to having someone, or believing, or having people that buy into your vision. Now, I want to give you another challenge, you know, and because the children of Israel faced this, because, you know, if folks don't have your vision, they're afraid of the unknown. They are terrified of the unknown. And believe it or not, the false sense of security tells you when you go to work that you got a job. So you get up in the early in the morning. You're there. You got to be there at 9. You show up at 8:30. You're at your desk. You're at your location. You're there early. And the boss brings a pink slip. It just tore up your sense of security. It just messed up your vision now. You know, and so now you either go on a corner and cry, or go on the newspaper trying to find another job, or you put your resume together and you go on this hunt now to find something that in which you can do that is going to continue to provide for you, and believe it or not, you get pennies, and you're not getting real milk, you're getting powdered milk. You got to add water to it. Uh-oh, you got to buy the powdered milk, and then you got to buy the water. Especially when you're living next to a brook, you're going to go buy water, but you can go out there and get water. It's crazy. And so now, in order for you to have the honey, you're going to have to work real hard for that honey. Somebody just tricked you. And they're laughing because your labor for them, they can pay you pennies while they make billions. And they need you, but they make it feel like you need them more than they need you. And to be honest with you, when they let you go, you're fired, or let me say this, anytime somebody die in the job, they're not dead a good day before that job goes on the posting that they need somebody to replace that person. Either they're going to elevate somebody within the business and then hire someone at a lower level, or depends on the position that person in, if they go out and find someone else. And they'll put a plaque up in remembrance of you, but business goes on. They keep moving. What does this mean to you? Think about this. Your greatest challenge in the marketplace is always going to be you. Either you buy into what God has said to you, or you believe what other people are saying to you. You know, if God told you to open a soul food restaurant in a white neighborhood and look like all the soul food restaurants have failed, then you'll look at that and look at the market analysis and decide, I ain't going to do that. But this is what God told you to do. It may be that God is leading you to do something innovative, or take up something that's different, or do something that's somewhat difficult, and you may not be educated for it. God didn't tell you you had to be educated to do this. He gives you the idea, but he'll bring the people that needs to work for you to get the job done. Think about that now. Barack Obama wasn't the greatest president because he knew everything. He put everybody around him that knew more than he did. The smartest man in the room was the one that recognized he wasn't the smartest man in the room. But he used the intelligence of everybody else in the room to make him look great. There is not one business owner that is out there that has a multi-billion-dollar operation that is the smartest man in the room. Bill Gates is not the smartest man in the room. He has hired too many, savvy tech people that make his product bang every year. Same thing with Microsoft, same thing with iPhones or those people that are working in that particular industry. They have the smartest people, because they're not the smartest people. And they take the thoughts and the minds of all of these young folks and they bring them together, and they ask them what would work, what would this work, and will that work, will this work? And when they tell them it does, you know, then they go ahead and create that product. And then, you know, that person that owns the company didn't think of that idea, but he had all those people around him that did. He just had the money to finance it. So, you know, I want to be clear. Tonight, I want you to be encouraged, because if you're going to overcome the challenges of doing business in the marketplace, first you have to overcome yourself. You have to start believing in yourself. You got to believe in you. You know, I don't care if you didn't finish high school, you got to believe in you. If you didn't finish college, you got to believe in you. Been to multiple bad marriages, believe in you. You know, you have a speech impediment, believe in you. You know, you don't deal well with people, believe in you. Because Moses had a speech impediment, but God said, I'll speak for you. Because the issue in this now, if you really grab a hold of it, is really not about you. It's about that generation that's coming behind you. All the things that you do today is going to determine how your next generation lives tomorrow. Don't be like our grandparents were, trying to encourage us to educate themselves because they didn't get an education. What am I saying? Don't encourage your kids to go in business when you should have went. You should have given them something where it would bring them together, and they would see their value and their worth. They would see that in the name of the company, knowing that my grandmother started this and my mom started this business, and it's been around and it's growing. It's grown, and we don't want to stop the growth. We want to continue the growth. So you have to conquer the first obstacle, the challenge of going into business in the marketplace. That marketplace ministry has to move forward. But the first thing you have to do is conquer that fear of unbelief. You gotta conquer that. Because nothing that God gave you to do cause fear to come up in it. It's true, biblically. Fear brings torment. So if you're afraid of something, and you're afraid of failing. I've heard this so many times. I'm afraid to fail. And so now I have a saying for this. A scared man can't make no money. If fear got you locked up like that, your ideas will be in the graveyard with you. When I ride by the graveyard, there's a field of unaccomplished dreams. Don't bury yours. Stay true to the thing that God has given you. Be faithful to it. You know, because that's the vision that God has given you. Have passion for it. Meaning that if nobody has to wake you up to do what you have a passion for in the morning, because you got that drive on the inside of you. You have that passion, that push that says that you know, before daylight come, I'm up, because I have something that I need to do, and it's going to be that road that is paved, you know, that is going to be a clear path for my grandchildren and my grandchildren's children, and so on and so forth. You know, don't be afraid of the rain. When we was kids, we wasn't afraid of it. Matter of fact, we ran out in the rain. Now when it rains, we want an umbrella. We're going to run inside like we're going to melt or something. You know, I guarantee you, for every issue that you find, for everybody that is listening to this broadcast, for every issue that you find with the people that you work for or work around, there's an answer. That answer is that God gave it to you, that you would not bring it to the company that you work for, but that you would research it, patent it, that you would bring it to the companies just like that one. But they would have to pay you for that answer. So, you know, I want you to really think about it now. You see all the issues that are going on inside of the company. God is not showing those issues for you to complain. He wants you to see those issues because he's giving you an answer for it. That answer that you have is not just for that company that you work for. And I would love to say that you used to work for. But it's for every company like that company that is having the same problem and don't have an answer for it. But you do. Now stand in between their issue and them, because you have the answer, and they will pay you because it's going to make their operation move a whole lot smoother. So I want to thank everybody tonight, you know, for listening, because, you know, it's leading up the pathway. Next, the next seven Thursdays, I'm going to talk about the seven mountains of the kingdom. Because when you go into the land that's been promised to you, there's a spirit guarding that mountain. And you have to overcome it. The spirit of mammon is over the financial mountain. You have the government mountain. You have the legal mountain. The church has a mountain on it. So there's seven mountains in the kingdom that are being occupied. If you hear me loud and clear, there's seven mountains being occupied in the land that God is sending you. And you have to be aware of who is on that mountain and how they don't want you to have control over it. Because you're going to need to operate within that territory, and you need to displace that spirit on that mountain. If you don't, that's an obstacle that will always have you fighting. So before I leave, I want to pray with everyone, you know, want to thank everyone for listening in and give a shout out to my friend, you know, Tawana Haywood Bay, for her hard work, because she's definitely in her wheelhouse. She's in the marketplace and she's handling all the challenges, you know. So let's pray. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, oh God, for this night. Father, I hope that those that have heard and listened will take heed to what's been said, that will listen to what you have told them. Father, you said that he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say unto him. And so therefore, oh God, I pray that their ears are open and their spirit is attentive, oh God, that they are looking at the promised land, Father, the place that you promised them that they would be able to go in and they could take the land and inhabit the land. Father, put the people around them that know their vision and that's ready to work with them, Father, that has that passion like they do and that drive. Oh, God, that it not hinder the work that you have in them. We bless you, oh, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, dear hearts, God bless you all. I hope you all have a blessed evening tonight. You know, it's Thursday night. Tomorrow is Friday. You know, and I pray that you're prepared to do some things. And don't think about 2019. Just don't do what you did yesterday and bring it into tomorrow. God bless you all. Love you.